an overwhelming attendance tonight. I've had only one apology, and that was from Betty Jermiak. Are we pardon? Google writes to this piece. Now, we finished last week with, we are dealing, if you remember, we are dealing with the subject of Hashkocha. And the Hashkocha deals with God's scale of the universe and everything that is connected with it. And the last point we did was that it is necessary to sustain the universe in the same way as it is necessary to sustain any living thing. We sustain any living thing with air, with water, and with food. If it's a human being has got air, water, and food, and a human being cannot exist for very many minutes without air. A little bit more, he can exist longer. If they are truly considered, it exists a little bit longer, but he must.
He can exist for quite a long time without food, without water.
That's right. I'm sorry, didn't I say that? So it's in that order. It is air, water, and food. A plant must have air, water, and food; otherwise, it cannot live. That sustains it. Now, the whole universe has got to be sustained, and it's sustained by God. If God withdraws himself from it, so to say, then the whole universe just disappears. There's just nothing left. It is here only because of God's will. So God sustains the whole universe. If for one split second of a split second he were to, so to say, withdraw himself from it all, there would be nothing left. Yes?
I don't understand how it baptized in with the idea that on the Sabbath day, Hashem rests. And when he created everything, I guess, continually, and
yes.
There's some rest.
Yes. What it is, he sees from creative work. That is, he made creative work. He created vegetation. He created zoological life. He created the luminaries, the sun, the moon, the stars. He created that. Those are creations. Those are physical creations. That stopped at the end of the sixth day. There were no physical creations. But it says in the Torah that and God finished the heavens and the earth. You remember that part, he said it in the Kiddush, and then it goes on and it says and God blessed the seventh day by Baruch Elohim Hashem Hashemini by a Kadesha, and he sanctified it. He wrote, because on it Shovas Mikol Malachei, he rested from all his work. Now, Shovas Mikol Malachei means he ceased from all his work. He ceased from all creative work. Asher Boro Elohim, which God has created, La Asei, to go on making means to sustain it, to keep it there, which requires his care for every split second. But the Boro, don't forget, and I've dealt with this before, there are three stages. There is Brio, that is creation out of nothing. The next stage is Yetziro, that is the formation, and then there is the Asiyo. For example, creation out of nothing is all the energy that there is in the world, the electrons, the elementary particles, and the protons. And then the Yetziro, making out of that the atoms and
molecules,
thank you. Atoms and molecules, and then that is the Yetziro. So that is the raw material is there. and then out of that comes the Atzilo. So everything that God, so in Atzilo there is no more creation out of nothing. There is no more forming the raw material, which is really the raw material is more energy than it is anything else. That is the Yetziro, and finally the Yetziro, that is already the making. So God goes on, the Brio is over. 6 days there is no more creating things. And the scientists tell us, somebody mentioned it to me the other day, that there is only so much water in the universe, and that's always there from the day of creation. So the water that Abraham Avinu drank, it's possible you're drinking the same water. And everything in the universe, whatever it is, nothing can be added, nothing can be taken away. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
And the strange thing is, that a total change to that, he worked all that out. But what he wasn't able to understand was, so he said that there was no beginning. It is always there. Once it's created, as long as there's a universe, it's always there. God didn't go on creating. So all the water that there was there, when at the end of the sixth day, on the first Shabbos, all the water that was there, that is the only water that will ever be in the universe. So it comes, it's recycled. So it comes, it goes, the sun sets it up, and it becomes rain, and it comes down again, it goes into the water, it goes into the sea, but it's always there. And that every physical creation is there, and it can take another form.
Prehistoric animals, what
they were made of, that is there. They were made out of ground, out of water. That is in the universe, that will never be destroyed. They don't even need exist anymore. But it's abilities in another form. But matter is the matter that was created, that is the matter that always remains. It's always in the universe. That can't be destroyed. And that is where the state of God is the theory of the eternity of matter, which is absolutely correct. The only thing is what he didn't understand was that there was a beginning and there could be a destruction of it that is outside of the physical world. That is something that he didn't understand. He didn't know. He didn't realize that there was a God. Yeah.
The way it's presented in school
matter
can neither be created nor destroyed.
That's right.
But presupposing that he says it out of Carl in the conclusion, it cannot be created.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be destroyed. So the two assumptions right there are opposed to what you're saying, because that was just scientific development.
Yes, it's not.
It's in the middle.
Yes, that's right. It's not really in opposition to it. God created the physical world with all the laws of it. Now that is in a framework. Now outside of that framework, God created that framework. They just see, the Satan just sees the framework, and he was in the framework. He was in the framework.
But that's what's always taught. So what I'm saying is in agreement with you, is that they've taken the absolute middle of it.
Yes.
Not seeing the before,
that's
or the possibility
right.
of the afterwards, the right in the
middle.
That
is the
framework. And that is taught.
That's right.
You can't stitch it practically.
Right. That is the framework, you see. That is right. Now, that is where we left off last week. And so there's got to be God's will, whatever that might be, which sustains the universe, and without that it can't be. And that is the very first Rambam. I'd better show it to you in the Rambam.
Thank you. That's so.
And the Rambam starts his great work, and he says, come in. If you could just take the two chairs and just sit down. Have I got three all of a sudden tonight? if you could take three chairs and just sit down. Yeseder, Amude Chochmas, the foundation of all foundations and the pillar of all wisdom, is to know that there is a first existence that is God. The who mamsi kol nimso, and he brought into existence everything that exists. But there is a first existence that is God. The cholam nimsoi mishamayim v'oreh, kamasha b'neyeh, and all existence from heaven to earth, and that which is in between, lo ne'el nimso'u elo me'amita simosel, exists only because of the reality of his existence. That is all. Otherwise, it wasn't for that, nothing could be. The Inyali Aladashi who ain't a mortal, and if a person should be able to think that there isn't this first existence, ain't Dover Acha Yochali Moses, then there wouldn't be any other existence. If there's not that existence, that if God isn't there, there would be no other existence. I'll read it again a little bit later, probably. Now, I asked, did any lady bring a prayer book? Have you got?
You mean a master?
Or? A master. If it's an art scroll, it's also all right. Nobody's got that. Oh, you've got two. You can share with Amy Young. All right. Hannah, do you wear glasses? You've got any things in your eyes?
No.
Well. Then you get it. Then you, now the way we do this is, Hannah will present the case for all the ladies. You sit down, you've got to stand, sorry. Present the case for all the ladies, and just say it in the plural. It says, listen please, instead of saying my masters, say our masters. You follow? You know where it is. It's up on the very top. Yes, up on the very top. If you can get a young people all over the time. I think I've got it on the show too. Both of you are the same. There might be one that's the same.
Rabbi, this is Martin Bloomberg from the Union of the Los
Angeles. Oh, that's pretty nice. Have you come to see the people here?
Yes. I don't
know what the car is. Are you Rabbi Bloomberg people?
Yes.
Okay, we get training. You can give that to Hannah Kerman. Now we come on to the next subject, in the Derech Hashem, and says that he may Som ho otel boruchu beteva kol spok ki la ameid al mishmatel ule kayen bigvuro ma she nimsa be yodel ולא ידוחה ממשפטי אלא באמצל הסדר שסידי הוא עודן ברוך הוא. Now, this is that subject that from time to time you've already heard me mention, and that is that Hashem has appointed a power over everything that there is in the universe. Now, we call it a pokit, and sometimes we call it a malach, and sometimes we call it a star, but they are all not quite the same. The lowest degree is the pokid, and the pokid is a officer. Now, an officer is, of course, it is used as in a metaphorical sense. What it means is that there is a power, and God has given into this power, he has given the ability to look after what is under his care. And this officer, which is a force, has been placed, and he's got everything, and it's been handed into his hands, and he's not to fail in his duty, and everything is arranged by Hashem in what order it has to be. Derech Moshe, so he gives an example which makes it easier. Shar ho ilonos, ishtader viz amet lahachvit ilonoso. There is the trees. Now it is the work of the Shar to look after the trees. What does it mean to look after? He has to see to the preservation of the trees. That is preserved. Now, we just see the things that can happen. The ulam, beos agzeira b'lepon of his borach shemo, yechazik sar ho ruach es ho ruach kefi mashi gozer olo. But you've also got a sar that is over the wind. So you get now the work of the wind is to see that the wind is always there, and if necessary, you've got to have a storm. And sometimes it's necessary to have a tempest, and then it's necessary to have a hurricane, and then it's necessary to have a
tornado,
is that what you call it? A tornado. So that is the work of the sar of the wind. Now, what happens when the tornado or the hurricane has got to go through a forest? So there you've got the opposing powers. Then Yechazik Saru Ruach is a Ruach Kefi Maki Gozelot, the Yitoch is Saru Ilonis Kefi Zeh, the Yeokru Kefi Zeh, the Ilonisel, the Kawach Ruach. Then the Sar of the trees, his gottes, he is pushed aside, the Yitoch is Saru Ilonis, the Sar of the trees is pushed aside, and the tornado roots out the trees. He says that there are all kinds of levels and degrees in Godus. He says because there are these powers that are over the physical world, that are over nature, Baleim Sore Yagzeres Agmul Hamini Malachi Ateva the Sabe Boyonim the Piagzeres. And then there are also other powers that powers for spiritual matters. and they move, they motivate the those powers that are over the natural things. For example, if people keep a nation keeps the Torah, the Jews are keeping the Torah, then for keeping the Torah there is rain. So the sun over the Ruchnias, over the spiritual, that is, that there is a reward for doing the right thing, that power sees to it that it rains. So he influences the power over the rain to see that it should rain. Do you follow what it is that he is saying? And the Psalm of Frodin, the Frodin, Kapitis, Sisrei, and Hoga is working out. And of course there are so many details with regard to this. Now, you understand this, it will help you to understand very many times. You will find it in your study of Chumash, and you will come across it in Rashi. You will find very, very times that he speaks about the sun. I have given you the example in the Torah where Yaakov is left alone and there wrestles with him an angel. And it's very difficult to understand it if you don't know anything what he's speaking about now. The angel with whom Yaakov wrestles is the angel of Esau. So Esau becomes a great power, and there is a son, he's got a son, and that is the power over all the Edomite nations. Now this power, this Tsar, now come to the details of it in a moment, this Tsar attacks Yaakov. So this is a power that is against Yaakov. Whatever Yaakov stands for, this power stands for the opposite. And he is battling all along against the power of Yaakov. So just let us bring it down now to something that we can understand and relate to in terms of our own society. We know that there is a power in the world that seeks to destroy the Jew, and that is the power of Edom. Now, Esau is the father of Edom, of the Edomites. Amongst the Edomites, you've got Haman was a descendant from Esau. The Amalekites were descendants of Esau. So you've got these different nations that are descended from Edom. Now, the sun is for all that whole group of nations, but each nation in itself has got a malach that looks after that particular nation. So the sun influences the malach, and if there is a splinter from that nation, then that nation will have a poor king. And the sun influences the malach, and the malach influences the poor king. Now, we see that it is always there. It is always there, that power that seeks to destroy the Jew. And he seeks to destroy the Jew in one of three ways. Either he seeks to destroy him by destroying him bodily, which is what Esau wanted to do, which is what Amalek wanted to do, which is what Haman wanted to do, and which is what Hitler wanted to do, to destroy the Jewish people. Another way they've got of destroying the Jewish people is taking the Jew away from his religion, making him accept another religion. That is what was employed by during the time of the Inquisition. And you mustn't think the Inquisition was only a few years in the time in Spain and Portugal. This was going on long before then, and it went on long afterwards. And the Church did everything it could to coerce Jews to become Christians. when they couldn't take earth when it was considered not to be the nice thing to go earth them, then they cajoled them into becoming Christians, promised them things, gave them things, gave them positions, only to become Christians. And you know the famous case of the chief rabbi of Rome. He became the chief rabbi of Rome. Before that he was in Trieste. He became the chief rabbi of Rome through Mussolini. They put him there. And the Jews never really took to him. And so he became a Catholic. You know the story. This is during the war. Or just after the war. It was just after the war. He became a Catholic. And he thought that they would make him a cardinal. And the church thought that all the Jews would immediately become Christians. Chief rabbi then becomes a Christian. So they made a very big fuss of him on Friday. And in the Basilica, Maria Maggiore, there they had the big ceremony and turned him into a Catholic. That night at shul, the big shul in rain and all the little shuls were crowded out. We were there several years later. On a Friday night we went to the big shul, crowded out. And the women are in the gallery, but very, very high up. Crowded out women, the men were crowded out downstairs. And it was on a Friday, we were in the Colosseum. We were going about, and in those days it was just after the war, there was terrible poverty, and especially amongst the Jews. And there was a little man trying to sell us something, postcards or something, sell us there, and he said, Schmeisler, postcards from Schmeisler. So I said, what are you saying? He said, business is bad. I said, that's funny. I heard you say Shema Yisrael. Well, he heard that, he put his things down and he took me by the hands and he couldn't let me go. And he said, won't you be in shul tonight? I'll look for you in shul tonight. Of course I'll be in shul tonight. And that night I went to shul. It was crowded out. And they were all sitting there, and I took a seat there, and I opened it, and I started doubling. Immediately, the person next to me gave me the key to find the place, and then they all started crowding around me from all sides, that I must find the place, and they had no idea. And that was the act of solidarity on the part of the Jews. It carried on for years afterwards, because what was his name? Do you remember the name of his name?
Zolli, wasn't it?
That was because Zolli, when he became a Roman Catholic, this was an expression of solidarity in the whole Jewish community. And he had a very great disappointment. They put him down in the Vatican library into the cellar, and they made him a sub-librarian or something like that, but he thought he'd become a cardinal and never became a cardinal. So that was the second way in which he get the Jews, if they couldn't get them by coercion, cajoling, but make them accept another religion. And then the Mohammedans did it. And it was Islam, the Jews had to accept Islam, and if they didn't accept Islam, they killed them. And the Rambam ran away several times from different places because they were out to kill him. If he didn't accept it, and if not, they would kill him. Then the third way that they did it was they said, course, we want you to become like us, to be Americans, have everything you want, you've got all the rights of Americans, and they'll be eminently successful that way. Just look how many Jews you need that way, through assimilation. But that they have helped the assimilation, they help it along, and they give every opportunity for a Jew to cease to be a Jew. So those are the ways that he's done. But that is the power of Esau, the Tzar Shel Esau, and that is what he does. The Jew hasn't got a son. as he, the Jew comes directly under the supervision, some I call it, of Hashem Yisborah. They forgot it. Now, yes, Zina.
Well, I came up here and see you know, Satan's parents is related to other parents and relationship to
Hashem. Satan is a son of Hashem, he's an arch son, he is an archangel, he is a chief son, plays a very important part. So he is the son of all the sons, if you don't know, of the bad ones. And his beauty is, evil is his beauty. And that is part of the shiur that I gave last Shabbos morning in Shul. That is, this is this great challenge that we have, that there's evil in the world, and that is his duty to see that it's evil in the world, and we've got to fight against it. Yes, sir, brother.
The thing I'm confused about that, the Rav keeps using the singular. Is it my understanding that there's not just one star?
There are lots. There's a star over the wind. There's a star over the trees. There's a star over the animals. Yes.
My understanding was that there's more than one star over the wind and more than one star
over the
wind. No, there isn't.
But what can be, for example, there is the star shell Esau. That is the power of Esau. Now, each nation that is descended from Esau has got his malach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that it goes very much further. For example, you've got a nation that has got a specificity. The malach will see to it that that specificity is there. He looks after it. That it always is there. It's sometimes good, it's sometimes bad. So the English are Perseus. A girl said that she said in Poland this morning, likes England. What does she like about England? People are courteous and civilized there. In New York they're not, but in England they are. So there is a sound over that, or a fatigue over that. Germans are punctilious, exact. There's a cell over there. So each nation, even the Hungarians there, each of the Hungarians have got other qualities. Those have got a...
Words can be very
and lack of it.
it's a sort of arrogance that they've got, but that is and the Tsar sees to it that that is always there, and it's a very strong influence. Yes,
now, is Satan over the stars, in other words the wind?
No, that's not right. He's there to do evil.
Correct, but can he sway them to do evil? Well,
it depends. The brains stand against him also.
Because he said he is of the nation.
Let me give you an example. For example, if a nation deserves that evil should befall it, and he is the social evil, and if that nation has got a son that fights against him, then he's got a very strong case. So then he can influence that son. That he can do. Yes.
Well,
it's not really that he has got his son to shame. But this is, he is Hashem's messenger. And he's got to, as Hashem's messenger, he's got to carry it out. Now, besides, there are different types of evil in the world. One of the types of evil in the world is that there's got to be evil for man to fight against it. There's got to be that evil. And that is his main duty, to see that there is that evil. For man to fight against, but it's always a challenge. Yes, Colonel?
some people actually do sense that the power of the position will use them to be their deities.
Yes, that's right.
That is
really at the root of idolatry. That is at the root of the idolatry they try very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And they worship these cavalers. That is true, that is the root of it.
But is there any kind of effect that a human being can have?
I don't know, I imagine there must be. It's a minimal effect, but it must be some kind of effect he's there. But the Jew doesn't fall under any side.
I think if I get the question, we're trying to get the question, the question from the answer, but I think if I get Hannah's question.
Just articulate your question.
There are people that worship the Tsarim, or they'll worship the Sultan and things like that. You know, it's just one day.
Depends if you come across the people who worship Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean that they give extra strength to Satan? I would say yes, that they do give extra strength to Satan. So you see, you can see what happens in America. You learn a tremendous amount from what happens in America, because it's so obvious that there are things that are done in America which are wholly, which are nonsense. It's just nonsense. Michelle just pointed out to me this evening that in Massachusetts there is a man who's running for governor. Now, Massachusetts is in a bad condition with its finances. So one of the things that he proposes to do is, he calls it euthanasia, but it's not euthanasia. Euthanasia was, when it started was, that a person is in a comatose, he is a vegetable. The next step of euthanasia was, a person's got a terminal disease, a terrible pain, and he's not going to recover, put him out of his misery. But now it's gone far beyond that. Now it is that if a person has lived a certain number of years, after that Medicare, we call it, Medicare, Medicaid, is taken away from him.
Oh.
Yeah. He's lived long enough, he's lived his life. No, this is this new governor of the governor, but in the Academy days, this is what he wants, and he's going to save so many billions and millions a year because of that. When a person reaches a certain age, then...
The powers that are the United States has a very high percentage of seniors who are very powerful.
Well, but still, I just want to show you. I want to show you what these are. These are the things that is. This is the power of evil that is here. You get just saying today that there are churches that give this homosexuals and all that, given every power. Everything is right, but these churches believe in the Bible. And in the Bible it says it's wrong, and it's an aberration, and a very serious one. But they justify it. And that is the power of evil. You justify it, go argue against it. Very difficult to argue against it. The power of evil is very strong. So in America you see it all the time. Now, I think we've got to end it on that note. And now you've got the basis for the star. You've got the basis for him now, for what it is, the start. I'll just explain it to you a little bit further, and you can sit back with it. Excuse me. You see, everything in the world has got a source. And the more you go through the fact, it comes down in degrees. And the nearer you come to the source, the less concrete it is and the more abstract it is. So you get the most concrete objects are made up of molecules. The molecules are made up of atoms. The atoms are made up mainly of electrons and particles, which are energy. There's no matter in it all there. It's abstract. So the further, the nearer you come to the source, the more abstract it is. And everything has got its source. And the source is, that is in itself a power, and that is alive. So, and this is Dr. Podlick, who's just been taken up with this. The Rambam speaks about, he says that the sun and the moon and the stars have got intelligence. And of course this is something that they all stand and just but what the Rambam is saying is that their source is intelligence. And so everything, when it gets right to its source, there is intelligence there. So you can have the most mundane things, but in their source it becomes completely abstract. And it is a power, and it's a power of intelligence. But that is going right back to the source. And this is all linked up with the idea of the Mishav, the Maloch, the Pakib. This is the power that there is. Now, that is all that we are going to do about these powers. But from time to time it will come up and it will just help us to understand a lot of things. Now, my wife and I will be going away for a little bit while. So there won't be any shooting until we can get back. We get back on November the 7th, don't we? If November the 7th is a Wednesday, but we won't be able to share that Wednesday. So it'll be the following Wednesday. We'll have the 14th. It'll be November the 14th when we meet again. So we'll have a jolly good rest for all those weeks.
Can I just thank you all for your help from my husband and myself. I really don't know where to begin to thank you for all your kindness and concern and help that you gave us over the last few weeks. And now when I think of it, I really feel that the experience was worth it, that it was something that was worth going through just to get this warmth and this affection and this kindness and this help from you all over that period. It was, as I told you, some of you, the first shock, which is really a bit bad, because we came home on a Wednesday and the Thursday night we had Shabbat Brachos, and the following Friday night we were having Shabbat Brachos, the next Friday night was Yom Kippur. And everything that could possibly have been prepared had been prepared. Jesus had cooked and baked, and everything was in the freezer. Everything. I wouldn't have had to make anything at all. And she kept on telling me how thrilled she was that she knew I was coming home and wouldn't have to make anything. So you can imagine the shock that I had when I walked into the room. Of course, that first shock was hard. But what came afterwards was just fantastic. I don't think I can ever describe to you what my husband and I felt when this absolute warmth came charging in us. It just came all the time. I want to thank you all by name because we were so very, very thankful and so touched at the way you all took charge of things. Edith either churches, one of the church, Linda, Gemma, Jagana, Betty, Seema, Shira, Hanamash, and of course, Hannah Solomon, which are really particular. Then the lovely, just sort of see who the Shea made. I think I've got all the names down again. Novice, Mattes, Robert, Killerman, Trinet, Winderman, and Marshalls. So I'll let anybody ask.
Is that written just individual people? So we might not see.
Was that not the Shea? Yes. Was that an individual? Yes. That was the gift at the. The flowers were something else.
Yeah.
That they granted. Then the Medrash Tisipoli, Tisipoli lady did something wonderful, and I want to thank you all for that. I kind of used to see the heavy. Done it and really helped us so much. I can't begin to tell you how much. And each of you, individually and collectively, just made it the most wonderful experience. That, as I told you, the time we very much thank Hashem, because that's what all it was. It was nothing, it was thank God. It was a little material, and we were very, very thankful for that. But we want you to...